And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
I'm doing great. Fog. I know this is like if someone's in their car and they're surrounded by fog. Like, wow, thanks for the update. There's fog. Appreciate it. But, man, I don't know about you guys, but, like, in Nolensville, the fog was so thick. I mean, it was like a foot in front of my car visibility. Then it cleared up, and then it got kind of bad around here, too. So, I don't know about you guys.
It was largely okay for me until I got to Murfreesboro Road, and I couldn't see my own hand in front of me.
Yeah, yeah. How about your route?
For me,
65 was okay.
65, the interstate was fine.
Okay,
but the roads in Franklin around my house, probably the worst fog I might have ever experienced.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really thick in some spots and really patchy.
Yeah,
which is interesting. I don't.
Yes,
know.
Side roads were bad. I mean, over by my house. I mean, it was pretty hardcore.
I think we might have some delayed flights today.
So we get some. So yeah, just a heads up out there. The interstates were pretty clear. But side roads, very foggy.
I bet there's somebody out there listening that was like, you know, maybe not paying that close attention. Now they're looking out their car door. It's like, hey, Rex Road's right.
Oh.
There is some fog out here.
That's why I can't see anything. That's why I just hit that deer. I almost hit another deer today, by the way.
We can't have that.
I didn't see any deer.
Gaggle of them.
Cannot have that.
Yeah. Glad to help.
Rex Road's here for the people.
By the way, I just, you know, if you're watching, just want to make sure that you see this beautiful sweatshirt I'm wearing today.
So. Yes. Shout out to Robbie and Rex Road, Step Brothers Painting.
Yes. Thank you, Nick Keiser. Good job.
Yeah, very well done. Very well done. We got a lot going on the show today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into the Titans and the head coaching search and the reaction to Mike Borgonzi's press conference with him. A little bit later in the show, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt women's basketball coach Shea Ralph coming up at 7 o'clock with their hot start to the season, so we will get into that as well. Big win against Kim Mulkey and LSU the other day, which is always fun when you can take down Kim Mulkey and LSU, so we will get into that and much more with Shea Ralph coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe, we begin with a big domino that fell in the NFL yesterday. John Harbaugh fired after 18 seasons with the Baltimore Ravens. So we've been kind of going back and forth on the John Harbaugh stuff the last couple of days. It seems like it's kind of weird there, and Lamar, after the game on Sunday, didn't really commit to, yeah, you know, I'd really like to see John Harbaugh back next year. Didn't really take the opportunity to do that, and here we are on the Tuesday after the season, Joe, and the big domino falls. So what do you make of the Ravens actually doing it and firing John Harbaugh? And what sort of a wrench does that throw in this coaching search if you're the Titans and all these other teams that have openings?
Well, first of all, yes, I agree with any Tennessee Titans fan who says, please go get John Harbaugh. That's the first reaction is, if you can get John Harbaugh, I would absolutely hire John Harbaugh. And I think it was Schefter. Maybe it was Rappaport. I don't know. One of those two guys put it out there that seven teams immediately reached out. There were only six openings. Now, which sounds fake, except I totally believe it, because there's probably a team that's not sure right now that reached out. And it was like, what is your – if we did fire our guy, what would you think about that? So it's a big deal. We've talked about the possibility. I'm still surprised as I read through, and I've been reading a lot of stuff about it. Man, there's like as of, and I'm reading Jeff Zriebeck, who friend of the show covers the Ravens for us at The Athletic, and like they were planning to move forward. Something happened yesterday with the conversations that changed things. It seems like, and I know Diane Rossini's among the people reporting this, that I think that he maybe could have been okay by sacrificing a coordinator.
Where we heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, right. And, you know, another interesting thing about that, by the way, an aside on all of this, you know, I think that injuries are still the biggest problem with the Ravens recently. But here's another example of obviously a great head coach who's been through, you know, a bunch of different coaches, has won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. But you lose Mike McDonald. It's funny how that seems to hurt you. Dan Campbell, you lose your two coordinators. Funny how that seems to hurt you. There's other examples. There was another one that I had in my brain, and I've lost it. A glaring one of losing a coordinator, and all of a sudden the head coach, you know, like some. And so sometimes it's like, should teams go with the whiz kid or whatever who is obviously giving them an edge? But regardless, John Harbaugh is going to be very coveted, and if the Titans can't get him. I mean, to me, I think it would be worth celebrating if he interviews here, because to me, it's like, who is he going to say, yes, I'll interview with you,
right.
You know? But at the very least, it does bump everyone down.
Yeah, I mean, it adds another coach to the pool here, and he's 63 years old. He'll be 64 coming up in September. I am really interested to see when he gets through his process here who he interviews with, because – you know, we went through the jobs that are open yesterday, and you can debate as to which job is the most attractive. Like, there seems to be a popular thought among NFL circles right now that the Giants could be a landing spot for him. Maybe the Raiders could be a landing spot for him, with Brady kind of leading the search and having the opportunity for the number one pick and all those things. I don't know. We'll see. Like, the thing that I keep coming back to in this is, like, Harbaugh has been around, and he's certainly a big part of it, but he has been around an organization that, along with Pittsburgh, has been kind of the poster child for stability, right? And not only stability, but just well run. They're stable. They've had really good coaching. Their player selection, even when they've been drafting late in the 20s and in the 30s for basically his entire career, like, they've chosen good players. Like, so, I mean, It's a very well-run organization in Baltimore. And when you start talking about jobs like the Raiders, I'm like, well, does he really want that? Like, I understand Brady's there now. But the Raiders have been basically the opposite of the Ravens, right? So does he really want to go sign up for that? I'm very interested to see how ownership factors into all this based on where he's just come from.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Steve Biscotti is a good owner, and obviously, you know, that's the thing. They've had a great relationship. Sometimes things, and again, I think some of this is, and I know some of the reporting about this is also, it's definitely Lamar, but not just Lamar Jackson, that there are other players who've gone to. I mean, I think it can happen to anybody at some point, you know, the voice can get stale. I think with Harbaugh, would he consider a place like this? Because it's, you know, obviously, we, as we talked about 10 million times, you know, ownership is an issue. You know, again, I think Cam Ward would have to be part of that. What does he think about Cam Ward? Does he like the idea of having the first pick with the Raiders? Is he a guy who's going to, you know, sit out a cycle and maybe looking at Green Bay and saying, you know, I think LaFleur is never going to get over the hump, and all of a sudden that's going to open up, and then I'll have Jordan Love and a lot of runway with him and one of the great storied franchises in the NFL. I mean, he could think that way too.
Yeah, I mean, that could be on the table. Also, like, if you're him, I think when you're like Vrabel, took a year off, and Vrabel, by the way, didn't like intentionally take a year off. He interviewed for the Chargers job. Yeah. So it's not like I've seen a lot of that recently. It's like, well, Vrabel took the year off. It's like, well, yeah, he did interview for a job
He would have taken the Chargers job.
So, but I do think age probably a little bit more of a factor here. Like, you know, he's 63. He's not like ancient, but, you know, do you want to take another year off and then be 64 and then be going? Like, I would assume he probably wants to get right back into it. And look, you know, John Harbaugh obviously is a great coach. He's been a great coach in this league for a long time. You know, there 18 years at any spot, that's a long run in professional sports. At some point, you know, it all comes to an end for all these guys. I am interested to, like, if I'm doing the interview process here, obviously you would be interested in John Harbaugh. Like, he would be at the top of, I think, most people's list now. But I would be interested to, like, hear his thoughts on, like, why things kind of soured the way that they did at the end here, and see what he has to say on that front.
Yeah. I mean, I have to think there's – it's Lamar Jackson related to a large extent. You know, another thing about Harbaugh, and on that front, that's one of the things I've been most impressed with his whole tenure. And look, the bottom line is they've had some great teams and they haven't gotten it done. And
yeah.
They could have won it all last year. And I thought that they were going to do it this year. But even just the choosing of Lamar Jackson and the changing of their offense, there are a lot of teams that would not have done what they did.
Correct.
They would have said, nah, that just can't work in this league. And obviously, it works in this league. Yes, they haven't won it all. But again, if the Bills never win it all with Josh Allen, then tell me the same thing. You know, then that can't work. Or whatever, Justin Herbert, everybody loves him, Superman quarterback. What, you know, if we're going to just base it on playoff success, there's a whole bunch of great quarterbacks who I guess you could just say, well, that doesn't work. I mean, it's hard to win. It works. And that is, to me, a testament to, you know, John Harbaugh for not being afraid to try things. But then again, at the same time, you know, coaches do – They cycle up and down schematically too, and they're dependent on coordinators, and so I mean there's a lot of questions for teams for him on that front, but also I think they'd all hire him in a second.
Yeah, I think they would. So John Harbaugh is out there. Add him to the list of potential head coaching candidates for the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up on the Harbaugh situation next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The Ravens lost on Sunday night, which sped up the timetable on these conversations about the direction that the organization and John Harbaugh both wanted to take. The Ravens owner, Steve Bisciotti, was in the building today to meet with John Harbaugh, and he wanted to take the organization in a different direction. After watching John Harbaugh coach his team for 18 seasons, it was time for Steve Bisciotti to take back his team and to set John Harbaugh free. I expect John Harbaugh to be the most in-demand coach in this cycle with multiple opportunities. He will be able to go wherever he wants, basically, to get a head coaching job. Baltimore now embarks on its own head coaching search, but Steve Bisciotti felt like this was the right thing to do at this particular time. The two sides went their own ways, and now John Harbaugh becomes the most in-demand coaching free agent out there.
That was Adam Schefter yesterday on the John Harbaugh front, taking your thoughts on Harbaugh being fired by the Ravens. Could he be a realistic fit for the Tennessee Titans? Your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I mean, oh, man. When I saw this, I thought, given the available pool out there, Harbaugh's got to be the top pick for us. I'm curious on your thoughts, though. How does he fit into this particular organization, where this organization has struggled in hiring and keeping a coach now for multiple seasons? Last quick comment. Shout out to the Preds last night. I know they got beat, but they're finally moving the puck and making good passes. And I was actually pretty impressed with them. But anyway, guys, enjoy the show. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I think John Harbaugh can fit in any organization. What is the attractiveness of the Titans when it comes down to weighing the whole picture, right? Like you've got – look, I'll say this, and this is me, a radio host talking that has – absolutely nothing to do with John Harbaugh. But like every time Mike Borgonzi gets up there and talks, I come away from it thinking, yeah, that guy like has a clue. Like I feel good about Mike Borgonzi. Look, they do have Dave Ziegler and they do have Reggie McKenzie and they do have a front office that has been around and that has done it. So take that. I mean, we've had the how many cooks in the kitchen do you want conversation, and you can take that for what it is. But the Titans clearly feel like their front office is a strength for them and a strength for their organization. So you have that. You have a young quarterback in Cam Ward. You know, I don't know how much evaluating of Cam Ward John Harbaugh has done when you are coaching a team that had Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I doubt very seriously he's taken a strong look at Cam Ward. But now there's an opportunity to do that. Like, I'm sure he's followed it throughout the year. So what are your thoughts on Cam Ward if you're John Harbaugh? And probably the most interesting one, even beyond maybe the quarterback, Joe, is like how closely has Harbaugh followed what has been a lot of dysfunction around here with coaches being fired and general managers being fired and how quickly things have happened on that front around here? And does that put the Titans down the list from the start? That to me is kind of the real question when it comes to specifically Harbaugh here, who I think is going to have a lot of options.
Yeah. It's like Dean Nolhaker says, what would it say about the Titans org/ownership if Harbaugh doesn't interview with us? Yeah. Like, again, if the Titans get an interview with him, that to me is a win. I can't in any world imagine they won't try. Right?
Oh, I would assume that they would.
I mean, they are interviewing Jason Garrett?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Somehow.
I mean, if you're interviewing Jason Garrett, then we're talking a wide net, right?
Yeah.
Titans are getting dragged on social for all these interviews.
Yeah.
It's rough. When you throw in Garrett, Nagy.
I mean, look.
I don't know.
I don't have a problem. I mean, I've talked about it the whole time. I don't have a problem with casting the wide net. I think that's fine. I do look at the Jason Garrett one. I'm like, what's so? Why are you interviewing Jason Garrett?
It's an odd one. It's odd. He's been out of the game for how long? I mean, he does the NBC stuff.
I mean, what, 2020?
Moderately well,
2021.
Yeah, I don't get that one. I just don't. Chris says, no way Harbaugh picks Titans. Why would any great coach come here knowing he'd have to run the same offense? Well, that's in place now. Well, that's not true, I mean, Chris.
He'd be running it. By the way, yeah. 2019 was the last time.
2019, yeah. That's a
Jason Garrett was coach.
That's bizarre. Well, no, that's not true on the offense. I mean, it will be interesting. So, apparently, some of the stuff in Baltimore, really the conflict was Monken and Jackson. And, again, I'm reading Jeff Zrebeck. Harbaugh was sort of the buffer between them. Essentially, it turns out to be you're picking Lamar Jackson over Harbaugh and Monken. Is it Monken Harbaugh's guy? You know, remember, Monken, obviously you think of that offense that they have with Lamar Jackson, but it was built around Lamar Jackson. That's what good coaches do. They build their schemes around their players, and they lean into their strengths. And so I don't think that, like, if that were the case, if Munkin's his guy, it's not like he'd be like, hey, Cam, I mean, if you tried to do the Baltimore offense with Cam Ward, you would not win a game. So, like seriously, he can't do that. He's not fast. He's not a running quarterback. He never will be.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing about Lamar Jackson's game that really looks like Cam Ward's game at all. But again, that's good coaches see what a player is and they say, let's do this, not that. Now, there's my system. You figure it out, player. Those coaches suck. Okay.
Oh, and there are
those coaches out there. I don't think John Harbaugh has had the success he has if he doesn't understand how to coach.
Oh, we've seen John Harbaugh change things.
Exactly.
You brought it up.
Dramatically.
Right? Like, I mean, he had Joe Flacco as his quarterback forever. You're not running the same offense with Joe Flacco that you're running with Lamar Jackson out there.
So for people who are skeptical, and there's a lot reacting already, I'm with you. Now, one thing about Harbaugh that is notable is that as far as I know, you know, Eric DaCosta was the GM and Harbaugh didn't have like final say. I mean, obviously coach and GM always work together on personnel, but it's not like he was one of those I'm really the GM coaches. So I guess if you want to have a glimmer of hope, if he respects Borgonzi, has heard good things about Borgonzi, thinks he's good, that could be attractive to him. But yeah, look, I think the ownership thing here is of course a big red flag. Any coach in college, it's like, who's the president, who's the AD, is there support top down, are they competent? And in the NFL, it's like, is ownership a freaking clown show? And unfortunately in the NFL, there's way too many of those.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Brian to the show. Brian, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Brooks. You know, it's really interesting to me, this whole dynamic, man, when I heard Harbaugh got let go. And not so much from the Titans standpoint, but it really brings into question, you know, and I know I'm not saying that Harbaugh is not a good coach, but, you know, somebody being in a system that long and being around an organization that's able to pick, you really wonder, could John Harbaugh work out in another place that is not stable or with a stable organization? Eric DaCosta is going to be making his first coaching hire. you know, those kind of things make you really wonder. I think the onus is really on Baltimore to try to go out and find a guy that's going to come in. You have the talent there, obviously, with those players that Baltimore have. They're stocked with talent, but it's really going to be interesting to see this entire dynamic, man, because Harbaugh has been in a place for so long. You kind of, when you're surrounded with talent, it's not, I'm not going to say it's not impossible to coach, but we have seen guys go up a good situation. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. And I think you could say the same thing about Tomlin. Tomlin, I wonder if he has a first-round exit, if he's another guy that we see out there. Man, this coaching cycle is really going to be interesting because we thought Stefanski would be the number one guy on most people's list, but now with this, it almost kind of seems like a runner-up kind of thing if you get Stefanski now. But you guys have a good rest of the day. I'll talk to y'all.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. I mean, that part of it is interesting. I mean, it's Stefanski has shaken loose. Now Harbaugh has shaken loose. I mean, I guess you can't rule out Tomlin at this point. I'd be surprised. But you can't rule it out. If they get smoked next week in the first round and he's been thinking about maybe parting ways for a while now, maybe you add him to the list. And I'll tell you another one, and this is why I think you're going to see Harbaugh maybe wait a little bit here, because if this happens, I think this would be a great fit for him. Like, what happens if the Jags come out and they beat Buffalo? Like, is Sean McDermott safe?
Yeah.
Because that'd be a pretty attractive landing spot to me if I'm John Harbaugh if Buffalo fires their coach.
No doubt. And, I mean, that he has a skill set. I mean, I think what the Bills have a good offense. I mean, I love what they do. And obviously they figured out getting running back production this year too. But, like, if Monken got a hold of Josh Allen, you know, that could work out pretty well. And then Harbaugh – yeah, he's going to be very selective. Ownership, but also quarterback. Again, that's like Vrabel. Like you said earlier, he didn't just say, I'm going to sit out. He said, okay, Justin Herbert, yes. You know, I'm going to be smart about my choice here. You know? And you know, I mean, the Spanos family, it's not bad. I mean, they have a better reputation than a lot of owners in this league. And it's like, okay, now I'll just go help out I'll go sprint with Jameis Winston before games in Cleveland for a year and hang out and see what happens. So, yeah, I still think that's really – like, I hear you on age. Like, the clock is ticking. But I think he's going to be selective. It's just – it's hard for me to get to he would actually choose the Titans. Again, to me, it's like if they get an interview, that's cause for a mini celebration. And I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't interview with the Titans because he just says out front, like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, I'd like to be wrong, but I think I might not be.
Well, but what it would do, like, let's say even if he doesn't end up choosing the Titans, that's another coach added to the pool.
For
like,
sure.
To me, the more coaches you got in the pool, the better off that is for the Titans. And, look, I think Baltimore – has now clearly become the most attractive job opening, right? Like, we were going through the job openings yesterday. Well, I would assume Baltimore, not only with Lamar Jackson being the quarterback, but also the stability and the competence that organization has put forward, clearly it's the best job open right now, right? So one of these guys that we've been talking about probably going to end up at Baltimore. So the more coaches you add to the pool, I think the better off that is for the Titans. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We will continue the discussion on John Harbaugh and the Titans head coaching position. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on John Harbaugh being fired by the Ravens. The Titans head coaching position is open. We heard from general manager Mike Borgonzi yesterday. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program to get into all things Tennessee Titans head coaching searches. Taking your thoughts on the Titans coaching search right now, let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Greg to the program. Greg, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, my question is, how is Kirk Cignetti not at least discussed seriously as NFL coach with how quickly he's been able to rebuild anywhere he's been, and it's just sort of analogous to the way college football is structured now is so much closer to the way the NFL is with free agency and
being able to transfer in college. It just seems like he would be a perfect fit for rebuilding a NFL team.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Greg. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I have thought about that in terms of Cignetti and the job that he's done at Indiana. You know, how attractive would that be to NFL teams? I don't know that he's got the appetite for that. I mean, he just signed a new deal with Indiana, so clearly he wants to coach in college. But I have thought about, like, Cignetti has done a great job, obviously, in Indiana. Now, there is a difference between, you know, coaching in college football and being a head coach in the NFL, but, like, he's a good coach, man. I think he could do it.
He's never been in the NFL. Penn State immediately, tried to – and again, I know that's another college job, but it's a big-time college job, and it was like, nope, I'm good at Indiana. Hey, he's good. Look, I mean, like, if the Preds have a coach opening, I think they should look at him too. I mean, as far as I know, he might be the greatest coach in sports history for what he's done in Indiana. So I'm not opposed to the idea, but, yeah, I think at his age, is he 67? 66 or 67? I think that's right.
He is 64.
You giving him? I'm so sorry, Kurt.
Jeez.
So he's the same age as John Harbaugh, doesn't it?
As Harbaugh, basically.
Doesn't it seem? It just seems like he's older. Yeah. It's not like it's impossible, but I would not think we'll ever see Kurt Cignetti in the NFL. Now, Marcus Freeman, who the Giants were just heavily flirting with, now that may be a different story at some point.
Well, and I think there's been some reporting out there that the Titans threw that name around in there, too.
The Titans talked to him, and that's, yeah. Why not Lane, though? Why not Lane?
Has been an NFL head coach before.
Someone get Lane away from college campuses.
It could be advantageous to everybody involved on that front. Look, I have a hard time believing that Harbaugh is going to end up here. Okay? I think I'm with you. Like, if the Titans got an interview out of him, I think it would be surprising to me if that's the way that it went down at this point. And I know we've had some people say, well, why would it be surprising to get an interview? It's just an interview. Like, I think Harbaugh is going to have a pretty good idea of what the market looks like for him. There's going to be a lot of interest in him. And, you know, I think there are head coaching candidates. For example, like when you're Brian Callahan, you probably take every interview, right? Like,
yes,
you take every
100%
interview that you get.
Put yourself out there.
Right. Like, you know, when you're a lesser proven head coach, you take probably every interview. When you've been in a spot for 18 years and you've won a Super Bowl and you've been along with Mike Tomlin on the list of the most stable jobs and head coaches in the league, and the market for you is going to be pretty high, I think you can afford to be pretty selective from the jump. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. And look, maybe he does just want to take a year off. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he looks at it and says, you know what? I think there's a chance that the market and the jobs that are available next year could be better. I mean, you throw out Green Bay, we'll see. I really am interested to see what happens with Buffalo here. Like, if they can't put together a deep postseason run,
if they lose to the
what
Jags.
Happens? Yeah.
They lose to the Jags.
Yeah. So maybe it's that. Like, but I think if you're Harbaugh, you can afford to be way more selective with this kind of stuff than your average NFL coaching candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, look, is he going to interview with everybody?
I
mean,
I don't think so.
That's a hell of a itinerary in your life. You're going to go from this huge emotional firing to just absolutely flying all over the country because everybody – no, I don't think so. Again, I think he's – and why waste people's time? I think that he is – where he goes to interview, I think there has to be at least some serious consideration on his part. And I just don't believe he's seriously considering all these jobs. And frankly, if I had to guess, it would not be – I would not guess this one, but – again, we'll see. We'll see if they give him an interview. You know, there's counterpoints on him. Chase from White Bluff says, I've also watched John Harbaugh get at coach, not run the ball with the lead multiple times.
Sure.
2 years ago in the playoffs, they didn't run the ball at all. You know, the Chiefs beat him in Baltimore. That should have been a Super Bowl team. I think John's great, but there were questionable times. And that's fair, too. He hasn't been a perfect coach, but no one is. Overall, over the balance of the tenure, pretty freaking good.
Pretty good. And now, if it's not Harbaugh, where does he end up this coaching cycle? If indeed this coaching cycle is the way that it goes, what does that do for Stefanski? And, you know, the other interesting part of this, Joe, is like all those guys that we're talking about, you know, Nagy, Stefanski, Harbaugh, the guys that have been head coaches before, that's not even, I mean, there's only so many openings that are out there right now. So what does it mean for, you know, Clint Kubiak? Or what does it mean for Jesse Minter? Or these guys that have not been head coaches? Like, I would assume a couple of these guys that haven't been coaches before are probably going to get hired somewhere. Like, that happens every cycle, right? Where there's, you know, there's one or two coaches that are the hot coordinators that get hired. Well, right now, there are a lot of guys that have been head coaches before that are out there on the market. So what does that do for those other guys that have not been head coaches before? How does that affect, you know, Harbaugh being added to the mix here? How does it affect how many of those guys get jobs this cycle?
Yeah, it's a good question. So as you say that, I go through, you know, let's go through, like, now, obviously, Vrabel was a successful head coach and the Patriots got him, but he got the job off being a coordinator. So did McDermott. So did Tomlin. So did Harbaugh. So did Taylor. So did Stefanski. Look at Liam Cohen, obviously, this year. Look at Ben Johnson, obviously, look this year. Look at McDonald, what he's done at Baltimore. I still think there's some owners out there are going to be like, we just have to get the right one of these guys. This works or can work. But also, for people who are talking, you know, use the word retread. I mean, there's a ton of success stories there too,
sure,
including retreads who didn't succeed initially.
Well, and is there a team or a couple of teams out there that were not planning on firing their coach that now that Harbaugh is available, they do some digging behind the scenes, feel like there's a pretty decent shot he may come there and then do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I don't know who that would be. I mean, people are bringing up Green Bay on the chat, maybe. I mean, they've got a playoff game Saturday, but the indication kind of looks like right now that LaFleur and Gutekunst both are about to get a contract extension. So we'll see what happens on that front. A lot of whining for me for several years.
You better get excited. How many Super Bowls does LaFleur have to win before you like him?
Well, can we start with one? That'd be nice.
I still think that he could win a Super Bowl, and then the next year, like you will be ready to pounce. I hope I'm
That's
wrong.
Probably fair.
Richard on the YouTube chat says Miami is the team that is like that 7th
well,
team.
I could see that.
And I could absolutely see that. Stephen Ross is exactly the kind of guy who would be like, hey, welcome back next year, and then back channel John Harbaugh. And frankly, I don't know why it's that important to keep McDaniel anyway. So that is one to watch for sure. And see, I don't know. But they would have the sort of the Michigan connection because Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy, and you know, he's given them But I don't know, man. To me, if I'm John Harbaugh,
well, who's your quarterback?
Who's your quarterback? Yeah. And also, again, the ownership is a little wacky, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Miami is attractive from the standpoint of, hey, and you know, in December it's warm down there. That's fun.
Sure.
Well, you know, you're talking about a team that is picking 11th overall in the draft coming up, who has just moved on from Tua Tagovailoa. And I know Quinn Ewers came in there later in the season and played okay, but are you convinced that Quinn Ewers is your franchise quarterback moving forward? Because I don't know how you could be right now. Maybe he will be. I don't know. But, you know, after playing three games or whatever it was to end the season there, there's no way I think anybody could know that at this point.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be expecting that to be a long-term answer. So I don't know that would really change it.
Well, let me ask you this. Zach Taylor, you know, they've said he's coming back, right? Now, Harbaugh is available. Would that change? I understand in Cincinnati, and they're notoriously cheap. But, I mean, it is Joe Burrow. Like, I would assume, like, if you're Cincinnati, wouldn't you at least have to think about this? You know, you've seen firsthand the type of coach that John Harbaugh is in your division.
Yeah, but I think I also think that it so much of these decisions do have to do with the quarterbacks. You know, by the way, I liked Borgonzi yesterday. Like, you know, Cam, quick hello. Quick hello. That's how much input.
He got asked about like the input Ward's going to have, and he started laughing. He's like, yeah, he comes to my office, and sometimes he says too much.
But when you're Joe Burrow, that's different. When you're Lamar Jackson, that's different. So, obviously, Lamar Jackson, there was some issues. There was not full support. I don't know, but I get the sense that, like, I think Burrow is behind Zach Taylor, and that's why they're not. So, if that's the case, then I don't think you're going to do it. Like, if Joe Burrow, And I understand, like Joe Burrow smart enough to understand, they're not going to bring the Todd Monken offense they have with Lamar Jackson to you. But if you like your scheme and like the coach, then I think they're not going to
mess with it. Well, I would think at this point, even though his injuries have been a significant part of the issue, I would think at this point, if there was any doubt from the Burrow side of things on Zach Taylor, they would have made the move by now. At least I would hope so.
Yeah, the doubt is probably with a franchise that lets Lou Anarumo go and that lets these defensive players go and can't field a fully competitive team. That's not on Zach Taylor.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We've got Shea Ralph coming up at 7 o'clock. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program. We will continue the discussion on the Titans head coaching position coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball taking on Alabama at Memorial Gym. 8 o'clock tip-off, pregame show starting at 7:30 on 102.5 The Game. We'll have Shea Ralph, Vanderbilt women's coach, coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Lance throwing this idea out there. Says, Harbaugh could hang up the whistle, go make $10 million calling games 20 weekends a year. Just go to the broadcasting part of this.
He'd probably be pretty good, I think. I think he could be
better
decent.
Or worse than Brady?
Better. But again, like, how high?
He's the number one guy on Fox. Oh, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's all on merit. Yeah, that's all because of his great announcing. That's what it's all about. No, I think he'd be good, but yeah, I think he's got the competitive juices flowing and wants to stay. That's why I guess like we have these guys like Brady and Matt Ryan who are like, yeah, I'll take that TV money, but also I want to be in the game somehow, which is dumb.
Matt Ryan's out. He's out at CBS. He's not going to double dip.
Oh, good.
Yep. So you were right. Yeah. That was kind of clarified
yesterday.
Thank
you for being aware of current events, unlike me. Yeah, good. Good for you, Matt Ryan.
One texter says, I'd love to have Harbaugh because I know what bad coaching looks like, but why do they quit running in the fourth quarter and in the playoffs? It seems like he never figured out how to use Henry. Well, I mean, in fairness, he had Derrick Henry in the playoffs one time. They did not make it this year. And look, Henry put together a 2,000-yard season and a almost 1,600-yard season running the ball in this offense. So I've heard some of that, like they never figured out how to use Derrick Henry. It's like, well, he put up 2,000 yards and like 1,600 yards. I think they used him in Baltimore.
Well, I don't understand that whole thing.
Well, there have been – look, the game a couple of weeks ago, right? And I don't even remember who they were playing at this point. Was it who were they playing a couple of weeks ago where they had the lead in the fourth and he scored a couple of touchdowns? And then the last two series – The Patriots game. That's who it was.
Yeah.
And Henry didn't even see the field. The last two series. That's one where it's like, you probably need to put Derrick Henry out there.
Yeah. The reality of Derrick Henry comes back to here, too. I mean, he was an MVP candidate who often wasn't on the field on third and medium or longer. You know, I mean, so there's that, too. If you're behind, you're probably going to go to more of your pass-catching running back. But, 3,600 yards in 2 years, I'd say decent usage of Derrick Henry there.
Would Harbaugh – would it increase the attractiveness of the Raiders job or decrease the attractiveness of the Raiders job to know that he would be going up against his brother in the division twice a year?
Yeah, that's interesting. Raiders Chargers, a great, great NFL rivalry. That is kind of fun to think about. I don't think it would like decrease it. I don't think that's a non-starter. I think they'd probably have fun with it.
I think they would too.
You know?
Yeah.
Why not?
So the Raiders the favorite now? Have they released odds on this? I'm sure there are odds somewhere.
There must be odds. That would be interesting too. I mean, that's the thing. There's just no obvious choice for him. I guess that's how it goes in the NFL. Like usually when jobs open, it's bad teams and there's something seriously wrong or multiple things seriously wrong with the franchise, but there just really isn't a great answer.
I found some odds from Fox Sports. And I don't know if this is like their own betting thing. I think it is. Sports betting on Fox Sports. Giants at +150 as the favorite. Raiders at number 2 at +450. Falcons at +650 at 3. The Tennessee Titans at number 4, +800.
If you're a coach right now and the only question was who would you rather hitch your wagon to, Jackson Dart or Cam Ward?
I think, and I think Cam Ward would be the answer.
Okay.
Because, like, first off, Dart started off hot, and then he's all right at the end of the year.
He had some rough ones.
He had some rough ones. He had some good performances, too. The thing that would scare me to death about Dart is, like, how many times did he end up in the medical tent this year being looked at for a concussion? I mean, yeah. He cannot protect himself.
And he plays that way.
Yeah.
Now, so, some people figure that out.
Some people figure that out, and maybe he will. But that would at least be where I'm looking at him right now, and I'm like, yeah, is he going to be on the field? Because I realize Cam Ward just got hurt at the end of the year. Cam Ward, pretty durable throughout the year, and a shoulder injury, even though it's not what you want from your quarterback, it's different than putting your head in harm's way every time you step on the field out there as a quarterback.
Yeah. I would have questions about either. I would not feel.
I mean, you're not feeling like certain about either one.
Right. So, but the Giants, from ownership perspective, I think it's a pretty good reputation. Another GM who, it's amazing how he hangs on. Although he has, like, they have a better roster than some people may realize. I agree here with George from Murfreesboro on the YouTube chat. He's like, watch Harbaugh decline an interview, but then to cover up the embarrassment, the Titans will quietly say they weren't interested. Yeah, it's just like recruiting, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we didn't really want that. We didn't want that five-star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated to hear later what PK thinks about whether they will get him in here for an interview. Because to me, there's six jobs open. They will all ask. Don't fool yourself. They will all ask. It would actually be malpractice to not immediately ask.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Schefter, those guys already reported 7 teams. I promise you the Titans are one of them.
Yeah.
Duh. How many? I bet you he does an interview with, maybe he interviews with 4 of the 6. Maybe.
Well, and who coaches Baltimore, right? Like, who's Baltimore's replacement? Because, look, I understand 18 years, clearly some conflict at the end there, and they decided it's time to move on. That's a pretty good coach. Walking out the door. I understand you've got some pieces there where it's a good job, but who are they getting to be their head coach?
Yeah. For the most part, I would think there'd be coaches lining up for the possibility.
You would think.
But again, there's the Lamar Jackson injury thing. There is whatever happened. I mean, he some of the Baltimore media definitely, there was some unfavorable, I guess really like maturity-related stuff about him late in the year, and clearly it got difficult. You just, again, that's always a story with two sides. And he doesn't have an agent, which is weird and should change at some point. But I would have to think. I mean, I'd take a shot at it, I'd take a shot at going in there with him. And also with Derrick Henry, by the way.
Well, again, I think it's clearly the most attractive job on the market right now. I'm just very interested to see who it is that ends up taking it, right? Like, are they going established head coach? Or are they taking their shot at like a Clint Kubiak or one of those guys that comes in and is the next up-and-coming thing? Like philosophy-wise, from Baltimore, I mean, I would assume you're operating as if you're in a window right now to win a championship.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, is it more important, like, okay, we need someone who schematically can take advantage of this superhero, or this team can't have someone who – isn't an established head coach.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that goes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us in the second half of the show. We got a whole lot of stuff on the Titans head coaching search to get into with PK. Up next, we'll be joined by Shea Ralph, Vanderbilt women's basketball coach. What a start to the season for them, and what a big win they got against LSU the other day. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.